Welcome to Hammer Down.
Down.
I am your host, Tone Diggs, getting prepared for week 8, the number one gambling podcast coming out of the PMI office. Very, very excited for this week's episode, potentially because we have a sponsor now, Michael. So let me tell you about Canadips real quick. To all you lip-booming chaw dogs, we have exciting news for you coming in from the land of Humboldt County, California. The guys at Canadips have lowered their prices from $17.99 per tin of dip to the new everyday low price of $9.99. You may ask yourself how. The answer is simple. An increase in demand has allowed them to bring manufacturing in-house with cutting-edge equipment and technology right in Humboldt County, California. They are passing on the best savings to you. Same amazing product, the new everyday low prices. Nothing has changed besides more capital in your pockets to bet on Sunday. In the spirit of action, Canadips is offering all listeners 15% off of anything on CanadipsCBD.com with promo code SHARP15. That's CanadipsCBD.com with promo code SHARP15. That's right. You don't want to go to the public. Make the sharp call and grab tins of Canadips while your buddies continue to make bad decisions with their dip choices. Also, just for listeners of Hammer Down, Canadips is offering one free limited edition unreleased tin.
Ooh. Ah.
Based off the famous Canadips strain, Lemon Tree, to anyone with an order of over $50 on CanadipsCBD.com. That's correctly picked the winner of the Sunday night football game against the spread. Ravens -3.5 versus Steelers. That's not Sunday night. It's 1 o'clock. But you guys get it. You guys get it. In your notes, simply put, Ravens or Steelers for the parlay add-on. Let's recap.
Is this the show right here?
Oh, Mitt.
I mean, Diggs just had one of the best reads I've heard in a long time, and there was not a single shot of the guy.
That's not the show. It's just set to the one camera for some reason.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Producer Jay coming in.
That boy,
in
Jay.
All right, Jay.
Head to CanadipsCBD.com. Use promo code SHARP15 for 50% off. And if you spend over $50, put Ravens or Steelers in your order notes for a chance of the limited time 10.
Hey, that was an incredible read. Did you write that?
I did not. Whoever did, I like it.
Very
enjoy
good.
It.
Sharp 15.
Sharp 15.
That's what I'm talking
about.
Like I
said, I am your host, Tone Diggs.
Tone Dogs.
Tone Dogs. I'm thinking about all the dogs this week I'm going to take. Joined by the still ever hot Pat McAfee.
How's it going?
We might as well just address this right now. You, after going, I believe, 8-1 last weekend, so still will retain the pinky ring for week 8.
That's you know what? Highest honor I could possibly have.
Highest honor you could
highest
possibly
honor
have.
I could possibly have at the moment. And I hope Pizon, I don't know if you saw it last night on NXT, held the microphone right hand, by the
I
way.
Saw
so everybody
I saw you.
Yeah.
I saw it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Thanks.
I saw it. Yeah.
I appreciate that. Can somebody that's in the other room that's listening to the show come in here and figure out a way for this TV to switch into a I would like to see Pizon when he speaks. I'm a visual learner. When Michael Lombardi speaks, I like to listen to what he says.
Oh, you mean someone who knows what they're doing, come back here and switch the camera?
Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
No,
nope.
Still
nope.
Has it.
Also with us is the Nuke man himself, Bubba Gumpino. He's got a lot of tasty treat nukies this week. I saw him on his notes. And as always, the host of the Lombardi Line, the GM Shuffle Pod, the Daily Coach, writes for The Athletic, former NFL GM, assistant to the coaching staff in New England, Mr. Michael Lombardi.
Attaboy, Pizon.
What's up, my guys? How are we doing?
Michael,
today?
How are you?
Me and Gumpy, that's our first time getting to see you today because of the TV, the way it was set up. You look wonderful today. You look like you're going to give out winners right now, Pizon.
I hope so. I mean, I hope so. I hope this board is good today. You know, I think it's an interesting weekend. I think there's a lot of close games, something we're not used to. And then there's a lot of big time spreads that I don't know what side you want to go on. I mean, you know, are you got enough guts to take the Jets in the 19? I know I don't.
Nope.
So it's going to be fun to see that one.
To your point, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games this week that are 7 games that are 4 points or less, 8 games that are 4.5 points or less, which has not happened in a long time, I feel like, in the NFL this year. Before we get into today's action, will you put up those records, Mitt, from the season so that everyone can see why we're listening right now, why they're listening?
My
Michael Lombardi is currently 13-11, just dropping gem after gem after gem. I'm currently 25-14. Pat is 32-12. And Gumpy is 25-20. Michael, you think he'd be winning the $1 million contest out in Vegas right now for sure?
I think what we have to do next year is we all should put a little bit of coin in and get two teams and just see what we can do. See what we come up with. I've been trying to do that every week. I pick five and I put them in my folder and I see how it comes out. The last 3 weeks, I think I've been 4-1.
Let's go.
You have to play it differently. Those contests, you got to play differently than you would giving out just a game here, a game there. You got to be really, it's got to be unified. And I'm trying to learn as much as I can about it, the way those guys.
What is it?
Some of those guys were hot. Now they're cooling off a little bit.
So it used to be, I want to say it was Westgate, but now Circa does one too, where it's a $1 million contest. I believe the buy-in is $2,500 at the beginning of the year. And then you pick five games against the spread each week. And then whoever has the best record at the end of the season gets $1 million.
FanDuel should do this. Can FanDuel do this?
I've talked to them about it. They said they weren't able to, but that was like a year ago. But if they could, I'm sure they would love to do that.
Oh, yeah. Like all states where it's legal thing. Mm-hmm. There has to be a way to do that. I would assume now regulators and if this company can get away with it.
Because for these.
You have to be in Vegas in person to register for the Circa contest. And then there's proxies in Vegas that you hire to put your bets in. Typically, they want you to put your bets in Vegas, but they'll let you hire a proxy. So that's why I think these online books can't do it.
And those proxies make quite a little penny, actually. That is a nice little business, those proxies got going running those tickets for game day. All right. With all that being said.
That's their only jobs? They
take picks from people out of state and run them to the casino for these contests.
The runners for old Billy Walters.
Billy Walters probably came up with this idea, Michael.
Yeah, I mean he's got a lot of what the mafia would call buffers. He's got a lot of buffers working for him. And then what he didn't want to have happen is he didn't want anybody to know what he was trying to do. So he would move things around to not deter the line, thinking it was him, so they wouldn't move the line again on. And so he had people, that's how the whole Stars effect. He would have, actually, sometimes he'd have some celebrities because they think, you know, they're just betting they have money.
Smart.
But the books kind of figured him out.
Oh, so this guy's still alive? This guy that is just, sounds like the most awesome human of all time. He just got random people, has to put bets in for him because all the casinos are waiting for him to put a bet in and they can do something with it. Like this guy is still in existence right now.
Yes, and his algorithm is still in existence, so that's what he's been using. I mean, if you went into his office, he's got literally like a stockbroker's office. He's got a zillion computers. He's analyzing the line. He's got people trying to feed him information on injuries, which obviously are critical. And, you know, he's monitoring the line movement. And like if he saw this Atlanta line movement that we're seeing today where it opens at 3 and it comes down, you know, that's not, you know, Joe Q Public moving the line. There's somebody who knows what they're doing moving the line. He'd be all over that.
30-year winning streak, Mike.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing.
Now, it's definitely not the public moving the line towards Atlanta because 60% of the bets for tonight are on the Panthers. But as you said, the line is moving towards the Falcons. So it's normally an indicator to that there's some sharp money on the Falcons there, an indicator to take the Falcons. But we will get into that a little bit later in the show. Let's run through some games from this weekend first before we finish the show.
Can I give a teaser for the Atlanta Carolina thing tonight? Jim Cantor is one of our biggest allies here in the conversation for who we bet on tonight and why we bet on. I just want to let that, for me personally, I'm not 100% sure about Gumpy. I'm excited to hear the news.
Great point. I think Jim Cantor is going to be our main source over the entire weekend. I think there's heavy winds on Lake Erie. I think the gales of November, you know that song, the Emmett Fitzgerald, where that ship sang?
Can you sing
November
it a little?
On November 12th in Lake Superior? Well, I think the winds are coming hard now. This is going to be a problem for some quarterbacks.
Drew Brees in Chicago.
Problematic.
Look out.
Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. You know, watch out. It's, you know, Cam Newton in Buffalo. Watch out. Those are things that you have to think about. Guys that don't control the ball well. Now, Brees controls it well, but the problem is he don't throw it far. That's got to concern you.
Hold on. I'm going to go even further. If we could figure out people's velocity on their spin, I think we could potentially judge spin rate. If we could figure out what spin rates for quarterbacks are, and then go ahead to, for instance, Derek Carr, I don't think he's known as like this super like top of the class passer or whatever, even though he seems to spin that motherfucker. That thing comes out humming whenever he throws. Like Kyler Murray, for instance, there's another guy. He's not playing any of these games, but when he's, that thing is coming. I think if we could figure out the spin rate, which Drew Brees is probably a little bit slower than it used to be and everything like that, with the wind, you would expect that to potentially help in this particular
thing. All right. So
no
let me.
Doubt. No doubt. And like Josh Allen, I mean, he's a thrower. He's not a passer. So his spin rate is, you know, he might kill somebody. That ball, I think with Josh Allen having the wind behind him is more problematic than having the wind in his face.
You're staying away from that one, huh? You're staying away from that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think wind's a factor this weekend. I really do.
So I'll just pull up some of like the windier games right now I'm looking at on Sunday. Packers in Lambeau, the wind is going to be 26 miles an hour. And that's not gust. That is, I think that's continuous, constant 26 mile an hour. At the Browns is going to be 25 mile an hour. At the Bengals is going to be 15. The Bills is going to be 18. The Bears is going to be 23. At Philadelphia is going to be 14. Tonight it's 9 with gusts up to 20 or so. So that's something to look at. And then there's at game
Hold
time
on.
Tonight.
Hold on. I saw a meteorologist from Charlotte at WX. Oh, yeah. Brad, I believe his name is. And somebody sent me a picture of what he was saying.
It's going to be swirling. Different first half versus second half.
Yeah, they said that he never misses either. People said like, hey, like, for instance, in Pittsburgh when we grew up, Joe DiNardo, okay? If Joe said something, Joe knew. Like, Joe knows was gospel. A big thing. And not every weather person you can do that with. But Joe DiNardo knew his shit. You could lock it in when Joe said it was going to snow, that snow was coming or whatever. Yeah, this is from... Diggs just found this.
He runs the Panthers weather account, too.
Yeah, it's WX Brad or whatever his name is. Shout out to him. The Panthers game should be fun for kicking and throwing tonight, they say. Winds 20 to 30 miles an hour and changing direction during the game due to frontal passage. That was at 11:47. So that might have been in the middle of what they had cooking at the time, and maybe it has died off since, which is what the update is. Mm-hmm. But WX Brad, who doesn't miss in the Queen City, they said, he's saying it's going to be higher than what people are expecting at the moment. But that was before, I think, Zeta came through and really did her damage.
We got Mike's son down there right now, right, Mike?
Yeah, my wife's down there too, and she was going to go to the game tonight. She was going to go to the game with my daughter-in-law, and they of course, you know, they stayed home for it because why, you know, watch the kids and all that stuff. So, yeah, I think the weather's going to play. I think both quarterbacks, it'll affect both. Teddy, two gloves. It won't affect him. He'll grip that. You know, he wears a glove all the time. Ryan wears a glove on his left hand, not on his right. I think Ryan's velocity has come down a tad.
Quite a bit.
And, you know, maybe a muddy field helps him a little bit because the last time they played, Brian Burns, who got knocked out with a concussion, he was disruptive. He really gave Ryan a ton of problems. So, you know, and without a great pass rush, Ryan should throw the ball effectively on this team tonight.
Yeah, so last time they were played, Ryan was 21 of 37 for 226 and a pick. Teddy was 27 of 36 for 313 and two touchdowns. Gurley, though, ran for 121 on the ground. Mike Davis ran for 90.
Gurley's over-under is 65.5 tonight. Maybe look at the over on that.
I don't know. You know, Gurley had the big run in the last game. In the first quarter, he kind of banged it. You know, he had like a third and one, and he took it to the house. That one's hard. I think if you're going to beat the Panthers, you're going to have to beat them throwing the football. That's the way, to me, their weakness is really there. They don't defend the forward pass very well. So I would be reluctant about Gurley, but you know, I'm never good on those prop picks. I don't really. But to me, the way the game sets up, it's got to be a Ryan Ridley, Julio Jones game if they're going to win.
Michael, so let me ask you. So there's a difference between just looking at stats and then looking at tape like you do. So I see that Carolina is ranked actually number 3 in opponents' yards per pass. Is that just because why is that?
Well, I mean, Carolina's pass defense is not very good at all. Their corner situation, they really can't engage in a man-to-man. You know, they have a hard time. They just cut Eli Apple this week.
Yep.
You know, and they claimed a couple guys at the waiver wire. They're struggling in the back end mightily. I mean, they can't play man, and they played a lot of zone last week against New Orleans, and New Orleans was, I think, 12 for 14 on third down. Mm-hmm. That's like playing $5 blackjack. You know, you're never going to make any money, and you're going to be there for the table for three hours, but at the end of the day, you lose, right? you know. So it's like they just died a painful death. And the Saints had the ball 34 minutes, and the Panthers, who moved the ball really well, only had it 26 and lost by 3. So because of the limitations in their secondary, I think that's the biggest issue why they have to they can't play man-to-man, and I think that's cost them. And they have to fix that secondary this offseason.
Is defensive coordinator Phil Snow running the 3-3-5 stack down there?
He doesn't run now. No, he's changed. There's a couple coaches on the staff. He's kind of he does some odd floater stuff like he did, but he's mixing it up a little bit. He's not as cover, what we call cover seven, quarter across the board like he was at Baylor, whether he rolled it or whether he bailed on it. But you know, I think he's done a really good job for what he has. When you look at him, I mean, they are not a talented team now. I think their front's getting better. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, but their sack per play, you know, where they are, defensive sack, they're 32nd in the NFL. They can't generate enough pass rush to really offset where they need to go and help that secondary.
All right. We're going to pick that game in a little bit. Let's talk about Colts at Lions.
I feel really good about my pick. I feel really good about my
pick. And we'll hear that in a second.
I might go with two bets tonight.
That's my tease. Colts at Lions, plus 2.5.
10 tease.
Thank you. Colts coming off a bye. Any thoughts on this one, Michael?
Oh, my God.
Well, look, you go back and watch that Lions tape and study it. I mean, the Lions, they got to thank their lucky stars they won that game. They had no business winning that game. They're kicking fifth. Every point they got came off. The only touchdown, they got an early touchdown. They went for it on 4th-and-1 and lost that one. They did some crazy things in the game. They kicked a bunch of long field goals. They didn't manage the clock even during that point. You know, I know everybody's betting Detroit, and they're thinking that that's going to be the easy play. My numbers say take the Colts, but once again, I'm always reluctant about the Colts' offense, especially since Detroit's pass rush has gotten better. Okorah, the kid number, I think he's 97, he's rushed really well. He's been actually better than Trey Flowers. He got the sack last week from Matt Ryan. Jake Matthews, the left tackle, I didn't think was just playing very well at all. And that really turned the game a little bit. But Detroit's offense has been better because Swift's in the backfield. Mm-hmm. Galladay's a sensational player. It's just, for me, there's something about Detroit that I'm just not sold on. And when you watch the Atlanta game, Atlanta should kick themselves in the ass. They should have won that game. It should not even have been as close as it was.
And that seems to be another game they had earlier this year where they're doing the same exact thing. I think it was a spinning ball trick that happened there. Do you watch film just on every single team? Like how, because you're a general manager, right? Former general manager, advisor. You grew up in football. I assume you've always watched a lot of film, but it feels like you potentially watch more film than when you were a general manager working, or is it about the same at this point?
It's usually the same. I mean, when I was in the league, you know, when I worked for Al Davis, he made you watch every game. He would this, and before I started working for Al Davis, he taught me this because I would talk to him on the phone. I got to know Al Davis because in 1987, I was working for the 1986, I was working for the 49ers, and Bill Walsh kept telling Al Davis he had a sleeper. He had this sleeper, this pass rushing sleeper. And Al couldn't figure out who it was. And we drafted Charles Haley in the 4th round, and Al found out who it was. And then Haley became great. Then Al wanted to know who found Haley. And basically it was me. And so that's how I developed a friendship with Al. And then we would talk on the telephone all the time. And then he would always tell me about what he did. And then he watched every game. And some games, like there's some teams I don't watch. When I was in the league, I didn't watch certain teams based on, you know, I wasn't interested in them if they cross check, but I try to watch them because I want to go back and watch them again. If I'm going to play it, I wanted to watch the Chargers in Jacksonville because I really want to see how that game held out and what they did and all that. So it only helps you. It helps you as a personnel director to see how the game's being called. And then I like to watch the game from a continuation point of view. I want to watch it from, I want offense, defense, special teams, offense, defense. I want to watch the game as a flow, even though I'm watching it on the coach's tape.
God, that's so much time. I know how much time that takes. That's a lot of time.
Hey, shout out you for finding a future Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
congrats
on that.
That was my claim. And you know, it's funny. I found two guys that year. There was a kid named Romel Andrews from Tennessee Martin, And then there was Charles, and we went and worked out. We worked out both of them. And Coach McPherson, who was the D-line coach, he fell in love with Haley and said to Coach Walsh, Coach Walsh asked him, Mac, where will we draft this guy? And Mac says, and he looked like he had bad gas. He says, well, Coach, you know, I draft him in the 10th or 11th round. And Bill looked at him and said, Mac, if we want him, we're going to draft him well before that. And that was the end of the conversation.
What a history lesson right there.
I hope a history lesson.
Hey, thanks for watching all that film, by the way, because then whenever you repeat it, it's just like I just pick it up like I was.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that.
Gumpy, you got any nukes for Colts at lines?
By the way, Gump.
Just the Colts getting healthy, coming off the bye week, getting Darius Leonard back could be huge, in my opinion.
I believe Frank Reich is also 1-0 after a bye. We also have Raiders at Browns. We talked about the win in that game. Do either of these quarterbacks handle win well?
You start with me. This is one of my favorite games on the docket. I love the Raiders here. I do. I love the Raiders here. The Raiders will move the ball like every team in the National Football League moves the ball on fleet. And the
Raiders are getting
Gruden will control this ball 34 minutes. He'll have it a long time. And he'll be able to keep his defense off the field. And I think that Paul Gunther will be able to handle the boots, the nakeds. This isn't because Odell Beckham's not playing. I mean, Odell Beckham, his first 3 years in the league, had 35 touchdowns. Since then, he's had 16. The last 4 years, he's had 16 touchdowns. He hasn't been the same player since he's left the Giants. But he's still a good player. But I think the Raiders will run the ball on the Brownies. I think they'll control the football, which is most important. I think they'll limit what Cleveland does. I'm surprised that the Browns are favored. I know they're the public play here.
Just very surprised.
I literally just found out by looking at the sidebar there when I looked up, and when you started talking about you liking it, it was Raiders plus 2.5. I am mine. I wouldn't have expected that, by the way. Because I feel like I've watched the Raiders games now. They're a good team. Now, granted, they've lost a couple games that they shouldn't, or they just lost. Yeah. All right. But they have the ability to be a very good team. And it feels like Gruden is an underrated coach. Like, even though he's getting paid $100 million, there's a reason. He's a very good coach, I think. And I think my respect for Gruden's coaching has grown immensely after watching their team and the way they handle things. Because last year, they came out of nowhere and won some games, too. Mm-hmm. This year, it seems to be kind of similar, but not.
And the Browns needed a miracle to beat the Bengals. They probably should not have won that game. You got anything on that, Gumpy?
Raiders are actually a better team away from home, too. They're 4-1 against the spread their last 5 road games. Browns 3-7 against the spread their last 10 games overall.
That Raiders one is nice.
It's a nice little tasty treat.
That is nice.
Rams at Dolphins. The Dolphins are currently getting 3. This will be Tua's first start. 57% of the tickets on the Rams, 50% of the money. So a little bit of difference there. Michael, what do you think? Is this a stay away because you don't know what Tua is going to do, or do you like the Rams side?
I stay away. My numbers favor the Rams slightly here, but I think that, to me, I don't really know what to do with Tua, how Tua's going to react, how he's going to play. I think this Miami defense is coming. I mean, I think it's coming. I think Jared Goff, if he gets hit in the mouth and he gets punched around, it's hard for him. But they've been good on the East Coast. I just don't know how that's going to play out. I think that there's such variables. I think you're smart to let this one go and watch it as opposed to guess it, because I think it's all just a guess.
Yeah, short week, flying across the country. I believe it's a 1:00 start. Correct me if I'm wrong, Gumpy.
Yeah, it is. The Rams always feel like they have a good game, then a let-up, then they never really seem to get rolling. I mean, I'm not touching it, obviously, but...
Pat, with Tua coming in, how long, like when Luck came in, was it before the team knew like Luck was the guy? Was it immediately?
Yeah, it was immediately. The first day he showed up, I think I've told the story before, it was awesome. So he wasn't there for our first couple weeks of OTAs. So we had other quarterbacks running.
Oh, because he was getting his degree.
Because he was finishing his architectural engineering degree or whatever, and he had to finish it or whatever. So number one overall pick finishes his degree, misses like the first 3-4 weeks of OTAs, but he got the offensive playbook sent to his iPad way before then, right? So by the time he got on the field for the walkthrough, he had just missed a month and a half, or a month maybe, or three. I forget exactly what it was, but it felt like a long time whenever you're in there every single day. He got behind center in the walkthrough, the early day walkthrough or whatever, and he made a check. And the offense had not learned that check. It was like the end of the playbook. Like it was like an advanced check because he went through the entire iPad while he was back at Stanford, memorized the entire fucking thing because he's a genius. Yep. In his first play, he made a check to something, and Bruce Arians had to be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, we are not there yet, fella. Like, that whole thing. So it was that moment, I think, where everybody was like, oh, yeah, this is his offense. Mm-hmm. Like, this guy knows this offense that we're all learning right now together more than all of us, and he hasn't been here for 4 weeks or whatever. So that is a much different situation than what's happening here with Fitz and with Tua. Yep. Like, this whole thing, like, you could still have some people that are potentially bummed out that we're not running with Fitz, but also know, like, hey, we got to make plays here for Tua if we want to get to where we want to be. The big question here is, if Tua produces, everybody's going to love him. Okay, that's just how it will go very quickly. If Tua struggles early, they'll stick with him, like, hey, we got to go. But if the struggles continue, you obviously hear, I assume, that there'll be some disgruntled veteran players that were on a two-game winning streak, potentially in it in the AFC East now that the Patriots are doing their thing and whatever else is going on. It's like, I feel like that's what it's all about, production, though, Lombardi. Don't you agree? Everything is about production. Yeah. If you're good, you're respected. If not, see you later.
Yeah, so there's no better player personnel evaluators in the locker room. You can't, to me, I thought you could never bullshit the locker room. You know, they know what players were favored. They understood it, and they knew who was good. The locker room told you everything you needed to know. You were not going to be able to walk in front of the team and say, this is our starting quarterback, when the team knows he sucks. They'll tell the media all the right things. They're not going to throw you under the bus. But they know. You can't fool players. I believe that my whole career.
All right, one last game before we get into the picks tonight. We'll cover all the other games tomorrow. Hammered down, 3:30, same time, same place. Pat's Bills opened at 3. It's up to 3.5 now. News today that Edelman's going to be out. He had a knee procedure.
No,
sorry.
They said surgery. Rappaport said surgery.
Okay, surgery, procedure. Minor, not minor. I don't know. Anyways.
Fort Minor, dude. They were banned.
I'm actually – the Bills haven't looked like world beaters recently. They only won, what, 18-10 against the Jets, even though they dominated the entire game. Pats did not look good. Are you surprised that the line might not be a little bit more?
I am. I'm really surprised. I mean, the Pats did nothing last week. You know, their receiving core. Edelman has not been well all year. I mean, he's been trying to fight his way through. He's one of the toughest players I've ever been around. But, I mean, in fairness to him, he's been playing on one leg. It's probably the best thing they did is to – to let him go get the procedure. He was trying to fight his way through it, but he couldn't get open. I mean, he literally couldn't get open, and unfortunately, a lot of this is the legs. So they're just so raw at receiver. Harry's got a concussion, probably won't play. I mean, who's going to catch the ball for the Patriots? Who's going to be able to? They're not going to run the ball up in Buffalo consistently. Not if you can run the ball. And then to me, their defense hasn't played well at all. And I think this is a really challenging game for the Patriots to where they are right now.
I agree. Pat, is this – I know you don't bet against Bill, but is
I don't – well, the Bills, I mean, we don't know what the Bills are.
We don't.
Okay? And we don't know what the Pats are. We know that the Pats have Bill Belichick. We now know that Julian Edelman's out. Is Cam Newton how he played the first couple weeks before COVID took the soul out of him and the happiness out of him, which seems to have happened. I don't know why. It just feels like that has happened. But will Bill Belichick somehow, like he has done for, what, the last 20 years, just dominate the AFC East, which is what he's been able to do for whatever reason? I will not bet on this game. This is not a game I would like to bet on. Sunday morning I'll probably pull the trigger, but on this show I'm not going to say it. But I think it, you know, this is one where Bill's Mafia, like, you have to win this game. There's no excuses not to win this game if you're Bill's Mafia and you want to run with it, you know? So it's I'm staying away from it, but we know nothing about these fucking teams
here. No, Gumpy, you got anything before we make picks for tonight?
Pats are 13-3 against the spread, last 16 in Buffalo. Can you not just run the ball, Mike, and just let Cam throw it 10 times?
I think that's what the game plan is going to be. I think they're going to do that.
The Bills' defense can't stop the run at all.
Yep. I mean, I think that's going to be that. Then throw some play action passes.
All right, let's get into tonight's games pick. Pat, you have the ring. Who do you want to go first?
Well, I have to go literally right now. Okay. I'm supposed to be a part of something.
Oh, yeah.
You are too, by the way. You're supposed to join it. Well, but you take your time. I have to
show you. Need to go quick. Let's do it.
Well, you know, there's a lot to do this, though, because do I sell out my incredible heater that I'm on right now for – I mean, no, I don't. We will – this. Let's respect the show.
Respect the show.
I'll respect the show.
Respect the listeners.
I have to respect the show, okay? So I would like Mr. Lombardi to go first on what he's thinking for tonight. We'll stick with the same routine. We're all winning right now. Let's just stick with the same go here. Paizan, what do you got?
You know, my numbers say Atlanta. I think it's a close game. You know, the number, I liked it when it was 3. I like Atlanta as this number keeps moving. I liked it now, but it's moving back towards the 1. My son's on the team, so I really don't play it. So I'm not going to. But if I had to, and you held a gun to my head, I'm nervous for my son tonight because both teams, what's fascinating about Atlanta is they've lost 4 games by 14 points. And yet they only have turned the ball over 8 times. And 2 of those games, they had 6 turnovers. So they just give games away by stupidity, not by their ability. I think it'll end tonight. So I would lean towards Atlanta.
All right, I'm happy you're not making a pick because you're a gentleman because of your son, and that would be rude. And thank you for that. But all the information you just said solidifies my fact. I got the Falcons tonight.
You got the Falcons.
Yeah, I got the Falcons tonight. And I was going to bet the under, too, because Jim Cantor potentially being a part of it. But I did that one time with you, and we were successful. Shout out to you.
Shout out to you.
No, shout out to you.
Shout out to you.
No, shout out to you more.
I'm not doing it tonight because I don't trust the weather report.
No, but what I'm saying also is
shut up.
I didn't enjoy it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't love it. I didn't love the missed field goal. It was like, yeah, like, I didn't love it. So I appreciate and respect what you do, and I think that's probably a winner, but I'm going with Falcons tonight.
Gumpy.
I am far too jaded by the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, no!
Falcons 1-4 against the spread their last 5. 0-5 against the spread their last 5 on grass. Panthers 4-1 against the spread their last 5 overall. Home team is 11-5 against the spread last 16 meetings. Oh, Teddy Bridgewater, when the line moves against him, 16-4 against the spread. Matt Ryan, when the line moves in his direction, 36-46-2 against the spread. I'm taking Teddy. I love Teddy. I'm sticking with Teddy Two Gloves. Give me the Panthers.
I don't love it.
I didn't want to pick this game.
That research deserves a
standing. I didn't want to pick this game. I don't like anything. I don't like anything about it. So I'm going to go with my gut here. And I think I said this the last time these two teams played. It's two teams heading in different directions. The Falcons.
We want to not count these ones.
We can not take this, but
no, but we have to.
We
make got picks.
It. We do. We got to make picks.
We're a betting show.
The Falcons. They had their heat after they fired their coach and they got a win and they just lost in crippling fashion last week. I just don't see how they get it back up for this Thursday night game. Panthers are actually potentially still in a playoff hunt. I'm going to take the Panthers tonight -1.
Oh fuck me, dude.
Well, we'll see.
I don't love that.
But think about the Falcons.
I got to go to this meeting. I should have listened.
Think about the Falcons came out against Minnesota and steamrolled them. You have no idea where you're going to get with Atlanta.
Hey, let's go Falcons. Come on.
Game.
Matty Ice. Matty Ice.
You're going to get a close game, so you might as well take the points. So, because, like I said, they've lost by 1-4-7-1.
Well, hey, only time will tell.
I love
Michael.
Teddy Two Gloves.
Only time
He's
will tell.
My guy.
Thank you so
All
much,
right,
Michael.
We'll
see you tomorrow.
All
right, Mike.
Thanks to everyone else. Can't thank you so much. Tweet all your winners and information and everything at Hammer Don on Twitter and Instagram. Jay, who's actually running the board right now.
Hey, babe, Jay.
Jay. He just made a sweet shirt design. So that merch is coming out here soon if you want to support the cause there. Good luck tonight. Bet responsibly. No one in here was very confident. I don't know. It's Gumpy, I guess, kind of seemed pretty confident in his pick. But
I always love Teddy, though. I do.
I love Teddy.
He's great against the spread.
I don't worry about Teddy throwing in if it's raining. I worry about Teddy throwing in gloves. Those get a little slippery with the rain. I'm just telling you. We will see you tomorrow with all the picks for the weekend. A little reminder, I believe we went, 20-3 last weekend or something like that.
Pretty much.
Not a big deal. Is that good? I don't know. We'll be back 3:30 tomorrow. Same time, same place. And if you can't watch us on YouTube, you should be watching us on YouTube. But if you can't, we put it out as a podcast every single time right after wherever you can find podcasts. Thank you very much. Hammer
Dad.